I would invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 as we read together nine verses. Verses 1 through 9. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1024. Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I know it surprises you, but when I read this text some weeks ago, a song came to mind. Hence the title. And that song, while a love song, I think does give us some understanding and some idea of what we are to do, and oftentimes what we ask God to do for us, especially in difficult days. And it's probably not a song that you would think of offhand when you think of God. But yet, which of us has not experienced when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see? Oh, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. We're not going to continue any further. But that song does speak of standing by when the night has come and the land is dark. How many times have we been there in our lives where the night does seem long and the land around us, maybe the land of our own spirits, seems dark and we're afraid? And yet what Paul says here is we are to stand firm by God and with God, and God will stand by us. In fact, Paul says that while we might overcome fear with God standing by us, we also need to remember that part of overcoming fear and difficulty, part of doing what God would have us to do, is to remember that we are called to stand firm with the Lord and subsequently with each other. You know, it's strange how we oftentimes categorize people. And we seek to work with different people if they're like us. We categorize them as country or urban. We want to go another step as redneck or snooty. Uneducated or educated. Humble or sophisticated. Etc. All kinds of labels that we put on people. We look so much at the externals when we seek to categorize people, do we not? We judge those books by the cover. Sorry, this is kind of an aside. The Sonic commercial. Those two guys, especially the one that's always kind of duh. Not too long ago, saw a commercial where he's talking about different milkshakes. He said, well, I always judge a book by its cover. Another guy said, what? He said, yeah. In fact, that's all I ever read is a cover. I can read, oh, 4, 5, 6 covers in a day. But, you know, we do that with people, do we not? We oftentimes judge them by their covers, or we judge a book by its cover, or at least the thickness between the covers, right? Well, I don't know. That's more than 50 pages. I don't think I can read that in the next 5 months. But, you know, we do that with people as well. They may be well-dressed or not. They may seem educated or not, suburban or not. Outward signs often mislead us. So then how do we tell about these people that are around us, all those folks around us? How do we categorize them and prepare ourselves to stand by them, especially as Christian brothers and sisters? Standing firm. You know, the marks of a Christian are found more in their character than outward characterizations. So how do we stand firm together with the Lord and stand by each other? First, and foundationally, Paul uses a four-letter word. Starts with an L, ends with an E, and has OV in the middle. That four-letter word, love. Okay, that's simple, right? And that's a simple answer. That's the quick, easy answer. But let's see. Is love so simple? The love of which Paul speaks here is an inclusive love. And a love that includes others who may not necessarily be like us, but especially an inclusive love when it comes to the brothers and sisters. He says here, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for. Now, he wants us to love as well and to stand firm in the Lord. And verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. These were two women who had been evangelists. They had followed around with Paul and they had actually preached and taught other people. But evidently, there's a little friction between Euodia and Syntyche here. And Paul starts out right after he says, you should love as I have loved you, and you are my love and my joy and my crown. He says, now, Euodia, Syntyche, I know you had your differences, but y'all need to stand firm. Be of the same mind in all of this. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to continue to agree on everything, but be of the same mind when it comes to love and working together with others. An inclusive love. And then he goes on to talk with his loyal companions. Help these women. They've struggled beside me in the work of the gospel and also with Clement and others. That love is to be inclusive, especially of the brothers and the sisters around us. That we work together and we continue to try and help each other, standing fast. You know, we, believe it or not, most people are selective in their love, even Christians. Loving only those who are lovable to us or who have the good taste to like us first. Right? And then let us know. But here, Paul is speaking of a love for even those who are quarrelsome, not just those who are helpful. If we are to be truly like him, that is Christ, we must stand firm for others and with others in love. This love is also a concerned love. A love that is concerned about those whom we love and their well-being, whether they're near or far away. Paul is writing this when he's far away from them. But he continues to love them even though he's so far away. Because nobody stays in one place anymore. So whether they're near or far away, we're to continue to be concerned. Concerned to show that love, concerned about the things that are going on within their lives. And it's a love that stands fast in urging the best in all situations. The Greek word here is stekete. And it's often used for a soldier. You think soldier and love? Yeah. It's often used as an illustration for a soldier who stands fast and stands firm in the thick of battle. When the enemy is surging upon him and his fellow soldiers, and he stands fast, and in love, the soldiers stand by each other, not giving up just because they're different. And so here, Paul says this love is an inclusive love, but it's also a concerned love, where we stand firmly in the Lord and stand fast like soldiers in battle next to those other brothers and sisters that are standing by us. A second characteristic of this standing firm Christian, one who stands by, not standing by as in, oh, okay, you go ahead, but standing beside, standing by those fellow Christians, is joy. Paul uses joy not only in the first verse, you are my joy and crown, but here he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord when everything's going great. Isn't that what he says? No, if you read, it says rejoice in the Lord always, all the time. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes, is it? John A.T. Robinson entitled his commentary on Philippians, Paul's Joy in Christ. That was the title of the whole commentary. Because joy was such an emphasis in Paul's writing, in particular in Philippians. But that's not a bubbly kind of joy, all the time bubbling over. The reality is that the world and oftentimes situations try to deny our joyousness, try to take it away from us in so many ways. So the reality is that we're not always bubbling, right? And somebody that always rushes into the room gushing and bubbly and all that kind of stuff, either A, you wonder about them, or B, you wonder about them. Maybe somebody needs to take them outside and have a talk with them, right? But rather, it's a joy that is an inner joy. It doesn't have to be something that you... Oh, another bill I can't pay. Praise the Lord! No. But an inner joy that even in those kinds of situations where things are difficult, whether it's another bill you need to pay and the money went somewhere else, or whether it's illness, or whether it's just a mundane day, there's still this sense of peace and joy inside, knowing that God is standing by us and we have others who will stand by us as well in all of those times. It's a joy that comes forth regardless of the setting. It's a joy which causes us to stand with the Lord, always rejoicing. You say, well, Paul. And then you have to stop and say, wait a minute. Paul had been there. He had done that. He didn't get a T-shirt. He got a lot of stripes and beatings. And yet he continued to stand in that. And he could say in all circumstances, I rejoice. Not although sometimes he says, I rejoice in my suffering, and I have to wonder about in there. But he says, you know, even in the suffering, I can find reason to rejoice because of God. And this joy is both independent and, I would suggest, interdependent. It is independent of earthly things, which we can lose. Earthly things don't really bring lasting joy, do they? But it is interdependent on those things that we find are everlasting in life with God, in a spirit that even in the most difficult of circumstances can still experience God and experience God's grace and speak of that grace. In Antarctica, Captain Scott and his men were being stalked by death, and they did die. They were losing all that was earthly, but he wrote in a letter, we're pegging out in a very comfortless spot. We're in a desperate state. Our feet are frozen. There's not enough food. There's no fuel. We're a long way from attaining any food or fuel. But it would do your heart good to be in our tent to hear our songs and our cheery conversation. End of quote. There was a recognition that even in those dire circumstances, with death facing them in right square in the eyes, and their feet freezing and no real hope, there was still joy among them as they stood by each other and with each other in that desperate time. And they recognized that if we stand with Christ, He stands with us, and nothing can separate us from Him. The third characteristic Paul gives in which we are to stand is epieikia. And that's not yippee-ki-yay. He wasn't in the West. And it's not some store that you order things from. The word epieikia is the word gentleness, patience, softness, forbearance. All of those translations come out of that word epieikia. William Barclay says, this is a person who is willing to give up something rightfully his because of his generosity. This is gentleness. Bless you. Kingsley Williams writes, and I quote, "Let all the world know that you will meet a man at least halfway." End of quote. That you'll meet someone and stand with them, and you'll meet them at least halfway in their difficulties. The Greek philosophers said that this epikaia is justice and something better than justice. It should be used when strict justice becomes unjust because of its generality and general use. End of quote. End of quote. In other words, it's a gentleness, it's a moderation, it's a disposition that recognizes when not to apply the strict letter of the law, but rather to show mercy, gentleness, softness, if you would. I'm sure that many, if not all of you who have taught school, have been in a similar situation. I have been in many situations and had students who experienced, for some reason, some devastation. I'm not talking about students that don't try. But some devastation in a life situation which affected the work at the end of the term. The strict letter of the law or gentleness. Or the student who tries and tries, who comes to you multiple times after class and asks for additional help, who said, first day of class, in front of all the fellow students, "I'm really worried about this class because I've never read a Bible in my life. My mama doesn't even have one." Bless you. But who tries and tries, who gets the extra help, who comes after class, who asks questions and comes up 2 points shy of passing in the end. They just can't get it. Letter of the law says F. At the IKEA says D. Bless you. Right? Been there? Those are the things that bother the hound out of me. Hey, but now if you got the ability and you don't try, I'd give you that F in a heartbeat if you earn it. Right? Because there wasn't the additional situation there. What Paul's talking about here is gentleness, moderation, softness, where it is correctly needed. Technically, the letter of the law is correct, but epieikia will value the effort and the work higher than mere justice. Jesus showed epieikia. He showed this gentleness to a woman caught in the act of adultery, did he not? The letter of the law said, stone her to death. Jesus showed gentleness and moderation and said, "Who accuses you?" "There's nobody here." "Go and don't do it again." But you know, it's not just the woman in the act of adultery. He shows me the same gentleness each and every day for those things that I do wrong, the missteps that I make. Why should I show this gentleness within this word that we find? Because the Lord is at hand, Paul says, and all that a Christian does, she or he does with understanding. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is present. When we live out a Christ-like life on earth, gentleness will be part of our approach as we stand by others and stand for others, because it is God Himself that is standing by us. Fourth, Paul speaks in several places here. We're not dealing with all these terms today, but Paul speaks in several places here of peace. Of peace. We're not to allow anxiety to cripple us. Everything, every situation can be presented before God. God stands with us in everything. And Paul promises peace that will guard, that will keep our hearts and our minds. It's interesting to note that he uses a military image of peace. Peace that will stand guard. We can't cope with life without divine help, can we? I don't understand. I stand in the hospital a lot of times and don't understand what people who have no faith and no belief do. I see a lot of what they do, and it's not good. We can't cope with life without divine help, both directly from God and indirectly as God stands with us, by us, in us, and through us. Because it's not just for us. That grace and that standing by us that God gives, that gentleness, then we are to pass on to others as God's presence. A Christian missionary was on a ship during a time of war. It was actually in World War II. Submarines were all out in the ocean, and the ship was coming across the ocean. And he tossed and turned and tossed and turned for hours. Now, I know none of us ever worry and toss and turn at night, but he did. And he tossed and turned and tossed and turned, worrying. What if a torpedo strikes the ship? What if the ship is disabled and boarded and we're taken prisoner or killed? He worried for 2 or 3 hours, and suddenly he remembered God's promise of his presence. And as he lie there, he decided, you know, God promises this presence and promises to be with me. No need for both of us to stay up all night. And he fell asleep. He fell asleep because he recognized that no matter what the situation, God promised to stand with him, to stand by him, to be his protector and his guide. And Paul says, so keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Among those things are those things that are true, honorable, just, pure. But more so, among those things are standing by each other with love that is inclusive and concerned, with gentleness that doesn't always seek to apply the letter of the law when moderation and softness is needed, that is something we can count on and that brings, as he says in the last of verse 9, the God of peace who will be with you. So when the night comes, the land seems dark, and perhaps even the moon isn't truly shining in your life, those times that we're afraid, remember that God is standing by us so that we may also stand by others. May we pray. Oh, gracious God, we apologize for the times that we forget your presence and the promise of your peace. Help us to be more cognizant of that loving grace that stands by us, but it also requires that we stand by each other, with you on one side, or perhaps behind us, lifting us up. May we truly be present so that the dark night that others face might find your brightness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 746. He keeps me singing, even in times of difficulty. Paul says there is joy and an opportunity to rejoice. And so as we stand and as we sing, may we reflect upon that. And our altar would be open for any decision that you might make. Number 746, He keeps me singing.